Where's the pulpit? None today. This is the last Sunday of 2025, and really good year for our church, both in numerical growth and I think in many ways from kids on up, in spiritual growth. So we've done a number of things this year, including inhabit the new space for children and teens that we call the hub for the entire year. And we've watched the effect of that space and the ministries in that space really take hold. One of the other things that we've seen this year is that we launched that in the fall. Jesus is my Lord, the Bible is my guide, and Trinity is my church. And we're sort of sitting in the middle of that today. So we're gonna reflect a little bit on the year past, but also what's going on right now as we think about what we are doing as a church and what we want to do in the future. So this is part of your ministry staff, and I wanted you to get to know them and hear their hearts a little bit and understand what we do together as a staff and as your leaders. This is Catherine Wetzel. You are director of, is your director?
Whatever you want it to be.
Okay. Director of communications, along with a number of other things. When you think of 2025, what comes to your mind?
I think about the two big events that I had a part in, which was our first ever nighttime 5K, the Starry Night 5K, which we ran in July, which was insane in itself because it was 90 degrees at 7 p.m. But we had a great turnout and we raised a lot of money for Ivy Women's Center, which is one of our local outreach partners. So that was awesome. And I think about Christmastown, which was just a few weeks ago. We had almost double the number of people, not just in volunteers, but in guests and attenders that we did last year. So that was a really great community outreach event as well.
When I think of both those events, I think of the amount of people on this campus that we never see during the week or on a Sunday morning, but just specifically that. And that's a really good effect of ministry.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Okay, 2026, what do you look forward to?
So apart from the communication, one of my roles here is to oversee our Lionheart program, which for those who might not be familiar or who are newer here, it is our 9 a.m. children's programming for kindergarten through fifth grade. It's modeled after, for those who might have grown up in the church, the Awana program, which has a games time element and a lesson and a scripture memorization element to it. So we do that at 9 o'clock.
It's much cooler than Awana.
It's so much cooler than Awana. Yes, yeah. And I say this having gone through Awana. But when we started this in January of 22, when we started Lionheart, we had 11 kids when we kicked it off. And this year so far, we've had on the regular over 50 kids. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah. But it also means we have to be creative with our logistics. So one of my goals this year will be to be creative with the logistics of Lionheart and figure out how best to accommodate 50 plus children every week and still give them a great curriculum.
That's a nice problem to have. You guys know Kristen. Kristen Wolf is our children's director. I'm going to ask you the same question, but Kristen came to India with me. Kristen and Ty's wife, Jillian Wardenberg, were part of a group that were in India. So you don't need to talk about that, but I thought I'd just bring that up. 2025, what comes to your mind?
Well, I went to India. It was amazing. It was amazing. If I haven't talked to you about it, come find me and I will share all the good things about that trip. But two things, like Kathy, that come to mind in 2025 is VBS and using the hub for the first time for VBS. We were in that space, we took up every inch of that space, and it was filled, it was crowded, it was chaotic, but it was such a good time, such a good and meaningful time. And it kind of goes along with our Own It, in that the theme was Live It Out, and it's about living out your faith. So that was really cool. And then the other thing that just happened a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, was the market, the Christmas market that the kids put on for DFN, raising funds for that. And just not ever doing anything like that. And then just having the outpouring of families that participated. And then also the success that they had, watching the kids take ownership of the selling and exchanging of money, things like that, that the parents stood back and let the kids take on that.
And all that money, if you don't know, went to the India Project and to those girls.
Yes, it did.
Any effect on you? What effect did it have on you having been to India and then experiencing our Advent Project?
Yeah, it was amazing in that I actually met the girls, some of the girls that we are going to help now, that our funds, those 126 girls, you know, that are going to be helped. I saw them, I met them, I saw them in their workspaces, in their training spaces, and actually heard from some of them and heard their stories and where they came from. And so that was a great connection piece for me.
Yeah. 2026, what are you looking for?
Goodness. I would say more of Trinity Kids Helping Kids. You know, we have that component to our ministry, and I want to get our kids out into the community, helping other kids. I want them to just know that it's not all about them, but it is about our community. It is, you know, and just see where else we can maybe help DFN and what that component with me going there, you know, and hoping to go again and taking some women with me would be
cool.
Amazing.
Let's see it.
Yeah.
As you know, Ty Wardenberg, he is our executive pastor. And I just want to say I've had a few in my many years of ministry. Ty is the best as far as fulfilling all that we need as a church and all that I need to help, in a sense, oversee and run so much of what is Trinity, and his initiative, his faithfulness. Just in front of everybody, I want to just say thank you to Ty for what he does. And part of what Ty does is oversees all of our education or discipleship program, from babies to retirees and everything in between. So 2025, what do you think?
I think for me, the most kind of rewarding, exciting thing is having some people talk to me about, and really many of us, we've had people come up and tell us about that they've never read the Bible before, and our kind of charge and initiative to begin going through it, the way people have taken it on, what they've been kind of experiencing throughout, and how it's been impacting them has been really, really cool.
We're in a season, if you don't know, where we're reading through the entire Bible, and we've taken a break for Advent. We're going to pick it up again starting today or tomorrow. And so that's what he's referring to. Some of you, for the first time, I think you've heard it too. I've had appointments people made with me to say, I didn't know that was in there. Whoa, there's so much violence in here. What do you deal with? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, there's part of the goal in some ways is to say, let's not just read the precious moments parts, but let's really try to understand this thing as a whole and be willing to wrestle with the tension that there's some things that challenge me, that challenge our culture, that challenge my ideas. And we may not have the answers, like, and that's okay. Like, the goal is not to kind of be over it and know it all and have it mastered, but to be under it.
Yeah.
And so that involves tension.
Yeah, good. 2026, we look forward to.
I think Kathy's word of logistics is a word that comes to my mind too. We talk about the growth and increase in families, and we talk about reading scripture and the importance of doing it together and being in groups. And it's always been one of those areas where having a place for particularly families to be able to be a part of a group is just, it's always a challenge. I love the way our leaders in small groups, particularly those that have kids, just the way they take it on, the different formats that exist in order to make it kind of work. And we use that word work kind of very lightly, but it's good for the kids to kind of be a part of it all too. But let's face it, like, we don't have houses that are built to accommodate 18 children, which is what some of our groups have. And so just always trying to look for new leaders and expand and multiply and develop. And I tell you, every time we go through that process and difficult, like the group that now launches, it's filled like within a few weeks. And so it's just always the logistical thing of being able to right size our groups with the size of the church.
Good. In many ways, that's what we're all thinking about in 26 as well. As the church is growing, there are a number of logistical issues we will be dealing with in a good way. We love it, but we always want to be a church whose doors are open to anybody, whose anybody is welcome. And we want to have a space for them, whether in here or in other places as well. So hang with us as we decide logistical questions in the future. Ian Neal is our Next Generations pastor. And you had a pretty busy year, yeah? Tell us about 2025.
Yeah, 2025. Winter retreat, really good. Next one, registration still going right now. Sign up now. Summer camp, awesome. Really good, always is. D Now, busy. Double the number of people. Crazy. Great. Awesome.
Wow.
Beginning of the school year, too. Good. New curriculum, learning a lot. So next year, more same, more better.
More verbs?
Why use many word when less word do trick?
Fair point.
That was good. If he preached more often, you would be out of here by in a 45-minute service. No amens on that, by the way. So we were at a staff meeting about a month or so ago, and we were talking about a number of things, including all of us dealing with the challenge of reading through the scriptures together or separately, but in the entire year. And Ian had some really interesting statistics that we're going to look at in a minute, but it got us talking there in the moment, just a very organic conversation. And it went really well. And we said, you know, we had to recreate that conversation before the whole church. And so I want us to hear that. And I want us to talk about it. Okay. So what do you got?
So I actually didn't expect this at all. You know, the whole presenting this to a larger group and everything. Really, it came out of our meeting because every once in a while, each ministry will talk about with everybody else what's going on and what we're doing. And this year, if you don't know, we had switched our curriculum in youth ministry from me writing everything myself to a curriculum that provides a daily devotional for all the students to go through each day throughout the week. And the big part of that was this, we know and we feel, and also if you evaluate our own lives, we notice that those days when we're in devotional or if we're in the scripture every day, I know that my day is better that day. And if I've done it regularly for a few weeks, everything just seems to be getting better. And so I wanted to look, because I like numbers, to see, is there any evidence that that is reality, or is it just good feelings on the inside? And so I was presenting kind of on this same subject to a group of youth leaders that meets every month. And this is kind of what came out of it. And just so you know, this applies to adults as well. But a lot of this you'll see is teens related, but actually some of the impacts on adults is even larger than it is on teens. And we'll get into some of those numbers in a bit. So without going on too long, one of the things that we know in all of our lives is we live in a very anxious time. There's even books written about how we're the anxious generations and stuff like that. And if you think about your life right now, whatever your age is, someone who is your same age now, 20 years ago, less anxious than you are right now. Does that make sense? And so what we see here is, okay, how are we feeling about our anxiety? And we have the highest rates of anxiety across all generations ever studied. But we see that for those who are reading the Bible, if you never read the Bible, this is like clinical anxiety among teens. So if they're never reading the Bible, 30%, and this is actually from a couple of years ago, so it's a little higher now, have clinical anxiety. But then those rates go down as they read the Bible more. But then you look, like 0 to 1 time to 2 to 3 times, same number. But then something happens at 4 times a week, and it's just kind of dropping down. One thing, though, is it's not perfect. It's not 0%. So it's not magic, but there's something else working on the backside of it. And then to also compare it to other things that we think in Christian life is really good. We've got, you know, the general population, 13 to 7, 17-year-olds in anxiety, you have that same number there. If they pray daily, it drops down just a little bit. If they're attending church once a month, or at least once a month, then it's dropped down to the same number as reading the Bible a little bit. But then look at what happens at 4+ times a week. And all the data shows, I pulled this out for youth leaders, but for adults, it's very similar, if not a better track record. And then here is risky behaviors. Those would be all the things that we think teens get into that adults also get into. And so look at, this is, has, like, is actively doing something risky. So actively viewing things that they shouldn't, or actively smoking, or actively drinking. For teens, it's 40% of the population. But as they pray daily, it goes down. But then look at what happens at 4+ times a week. So there's something about that. But then there's a positive side of this as well for adults. And I don't have a slide for these, but I think it's an important number to think about, because it's not just teens, it's us as well. For those who are reading their Bible 4 or more times a week, there's a 218 to 416% in increasing their sharing of faith, charitable giving, discipling, and memorizing scripture. So for those of us that are like, this is what the Christian life is about, sharing your faith and being a disciple and discipling others and memorizing scripture and hiding it in your heart, a 218 to 416% increase for adults who read their Bible 4 times a week. And then there's also those anxiety things, or also those risky things that we that go on in our hearts. There is a 14% to 60% reduction in adults for destructive thinking, thinking unkindly about themselves or others, feeling spiritually stagnant, being lonely, being bitter, having difficulty forgiveness of themselves or others, and feeling discouraged and in fear and anxiety. And so it's not necessarily magic, but there's something else kind of at play here that shows, well, it becomes a habit, and then something else is happening. And then what happened is I shut up, and then everybody else took the conversation on from there.
Because we really went from there, right? And we said, it's not magic. The Bible's not a genie that you rub, but something very significant is going on when it's internalized and actually lived out. You were going to say something.
Yeah, we discussed the data a little bit longer, but we didn't want to throw a bunch of numbers and everyone just be like, oh, you know. But the thing that really stood out to us was that kind of that number four days, that became a game changer. And even as we looked into the information further, the difference between like habitually reading scripture versus like praying frequently or a lot. In fact, in one of the data sets, when it came to a topic amongst teens like self-harm, something like praying 4 times or more like actually went up. And if you think about it, it makes sense that if you're in a state of crisis, you might be praying a lot more. And what we see there is kind of sussing out the data and saying there's reactive activity. And we can see prayer being very reactive in difficult times and stuff versus habitual activity. And so it's not so much we think that what the data is pointing to is that do this and then you get this, as much as the person you become and who you are and then what the result is and what kind of might come as a result of it. And so it is really about habit and formation and how you're formed versus some kind of formula to get the kind of results in your life right. You might want.
It's more than just a checklist. Okay, did that, on to the next thing.
And then part of what we talked about is that idea of having like a bunch of how you see multiple days and how having throughout the week, mm-hmm. how that impacts. And it really led into what that we see that in all of our programs, including our kids' programs. Right. And that's where you all really began to share.
And that these programs are not in isolation, but they're always in community, and how that's a really important part of all of this. So you had mentioned something with Lionheart.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the cornerstones of the Lionheart program is every student from kindergarten through fifth grade starts the year off going through a little booklet. It's called Through the Wardrobe, because for those who don't know, Lionheart is based on the Chronicles of Narnia. So we start them off by going through the wardrobe, and we introduce six verses or six truths that we feel the pastoral staff and ministry staff here feel are foundational to the Christian walk. And we want these kids to learn them from day one in kindergarten all the way through fifth grade. And so every year that these kids are in Lionheart, they are learning, they're starting their year off by learning or reviewing these same six verses. And my friend Katie was telling me, this was a few months ago, her daughter, Emmy, who's in sixth grade now and so has aged out of Lionheart, she was one of the original Lionheart kids. So she was in it from first grade or something. And so every year she would go through these same six verses. Her younger brother, Liam, is now in kindergarten. He is in his first year of Lionheart. And Liam was starting to ask some questions in the back of the car one day. Emmy and Liam were in the back of the car. And he was asking about salvation. And he's saying, you know, well, if I get saved, what happens? Can I get unsaved if I'm bad? And Emmy, without any input from either parent, said, well, don't you know what it says in John 5:24, which is one of those foundational verses? And she just lists off, truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. And just like that, she pulled that verse out. Because she had all those multiple touches of that verse and all of the other ones over the years, over the weeks that she was in Lionheart. And that's one of the things that I love about the scripture memory portion, is that these kids are not necessarily just looking at the verse on Sunday morning and saying it. They're revisiting it through the week, and then they're going back and they're reviewing them throughout the week. And so they're having that 4+ times per week time in the word, and they're allowing it to impact their relationships in their family, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. I had a story that happened the morning of our dress rehearsal for the Christmas program, and I had a kindergartner come to me, eyes wide, big grin, excited. He said, I get to read my own Bible, and it has 2,000 pages in it. And he's like, and I'm only in kindergarten. And the excitement that he had was immeasurable. It was so sweet. And so I was talking to him about it. You know, he wasn't very far, but he was very excited that he got to read his own Bible. And then it happened that his mom was standing there and another mom was standing there. And then we're talking about relationship, right? They had a conversation on how to navigate your child reading the Bible. And as we talked about in the Old Testament, there are some things that, you know, are not necessarily kid friendly, but it's a way that the parents got to communicate with each other, got to have that relational conversation about how to navigate talking about those topics that might be a little precarious.
I think, you know, one of the joys of being in Kidsmen is getting to see that excitement when kids start to experience the Bible and take ownership of their faith journey. You know, own it isn't just for us adults in this room. It's for all of our kids. And, you know, when I think about excitement, I think about Isaiah, who, when he finished his Through the Wardrobe booklet and got his Kindergarten Beaver booklet, Ian, if you can just advance. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a smile that big. And this, he's excited, not just because of the gold coins that he will get when he says his verses, but because now he gets to learn and say 30+ verses over the course of the next 9 months through this program. And he's internalizing. That was the word you used. And I thought that was such a great word, internalizing God's word, even at a young age, in the hopes that what he's learning now will carry on for the rest of his life.
Well, let me add to that, because things like this then show up on our prayer cards, and they're from the kids, and they're talking about I love Jesus. Please pray for me. Forgive my sins. You know, so we as a staff on Monday mornings pray over the prayer cards, and we get them from the kids too when they're in here, and it's joyous. Yeah.
We have a men's ministry on Thursday mornings called Man Up, and large group of men, but then breaks into small groups. For the first several years, I was with a group of men. Most of them were retired. And this past year, I decided I want to be in a different group. So now I'm in a group of men, all of them young dads. And to see men in both phases of life deal with life in a very biblical, spiritual way because of their interaction with each other and because of their interaction with the scriptures through our Man Up study. The retired guys, many of them are church veterans forever. And sometimes you would expect people like that to be sort of just all knowledge, all head, without any application at all. But to hear the guys interact with each other and reflect on the meaning of scripture, even in their stage of life as retirees, is really, really special, because now the rubber is meeting the road. They know it. They have the knowledge, but they're able to take the knowledge and apply it to the circumstance in which they are living, which the young dads are doing the same thing as well. To me, that's what we mean by, this isn't a genie you don't rub this thing. This is something that, you know, Jeremiah compares the scriptures to food, that you eat it, you ingest it, and as you do, it's meant to live its way out through your life. That's why I think we're not saying, Ty, that you read the Bible, you'll never get anxious, right?
No. Yeah, no. Nor is it the remedy necessarily for it. What we're talking about is how it shapes you. When we were reading through the Old Testament this past year, there's this passage in 2 Kings 17 that I think is important. It's 2 Kings 17:15. This is in the phase when man thinks have just gone downhill. The people of Israel have been practicing idolatry, and they're kind of on the cusp of judgment. And this is the Lord saying what's been going on. He says, they despised his statutes and his covenants that he made with their fathers and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols and became false. It's that principle that we are worshiping beings. We were made to worship. And that which we worship is that which we will become. And so when we talk about this 4+ pattern and all of these things, it's about trying to orient our heart, which is naturally going to worship. It's going to focus on something. How do we reorient it to this cosmic world that Christ has inaugurated and called us to be a part of? And it's about kind of changing our gaze. And in doing that, it changes who we are.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, there's this different kind of what we're setting up as our foundation. One of the things that Ty brought up that it kind of came up in the conversation is that for teens, the ones that are more easily able to adopt the whole, I'm going to do a devotional, not every day because that's really hard, but a couple days a week, and buy into that concept, it's been easier for some of the younger students who came through programs in children's ministry that had that set up already, or even coming from families that it's like, well, the scripture's being read there every single day. And so that kind of adoption, that foundation, it's almost like easier for them to grasp onto it. And one of the difficulty things for us to think through is that can be also for us as well, because sometimes we have to do the things like reading scripture because it's a discipline. And sometimes it's not like we want to do it that day. Mm. Sometimes it's, I have this discipline. It's something that I need to do that day.
Mm-hmm. It's like working out.
Sometimes
I love going to the gym and doing all the workout stuff. Other times I don't want to go, but mm-hmm. because of the discipline of doing it, I still do it. Either way, it helps my body.
Yeah, there's this shirt I'm thinking about getting that says, like, you're tired, do it tired. Because, like, sometimes it's like, well, you wake up early in the morning, you know, kid came in, started jumping on the bed. I I don't want to do that this morning, but sometimes it's important to, even if you're tired, still do it tired, because the Lord speaks to us through Scripture. We hear His voice through Scripture. If we're putting it on the shelf and never opening it, well, that's sad.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring this to a close. Quickly, one takeaway each that you guys would have from this conversation.
You know, I think one of the biggest things that I think about is setting our kids up for success when it comes to hiding God's word in their heart. Yes, we reward them as part of the Lionheart program with gold coins when they say their verse, because you know, it's reinforcing that they have done something well. But we also don't want these kids to be looking at words on a page and regurgitating it immediately without actually taking it to heart. So, you know, this year, for the first time, we have laid down the law and imposed a limit on the number of verses that kids can say, because we were seeing it where kids just were saying the words because they were able to memorize it for a second, but then they weren't hiding it in their hearts. And so, you know, just I want to make sure that we are promoting the idea of taking it slow and making it meaningful rather than just trying to memorize it, but to memorize it to know it.
Good. That sounds really good. Kristen?
Mine would be partnership and relationship, as we talked about a little bit ago, is, you know, we provide a connection piece to our parents monthly about what's going on at the 10:30 or the preschool times. And it gives the parents on, they'll get it on January 1st. It gives them what's going on in class for the week and for the whole month. And so there's scripture in there, there's the Bible story in there, and there's also conversation starters for car, you know, going to school, on your way to school, waking up in the morning, dinner time, bedtime, those conversation pieces. So our, you know, we're trying to equip our parents, because it's not an us or them, right? It's a partnership in that our ministry partners are teaching the kids as well as the parents. And it's not, they're not on their own. It's definitely a partnership. So we want to equip them as cool. well as we can.
It's all of our job.
Yeah.
Ty, one takeaway.
I think we want to balance too. When we say this isn't magic, it's not a magic pill. It's not a quick fix. It's not magic. But it is different. This is not just some other book we're engaging with. This is the means which God has provided in order to meet with Him. And we have been told through the Scriptures that we are to be partakers of His divine nature, and that we are to inhabit His likeness. And it's a means that He uses to do that. I was sharing last hour, my wife is a huge reader. She loves to read, and she reads fiction for entertainment, and she'll read like 100 books a year. And when she approaches those texts, it's for entertainment. We can't approach the Scriptures to be entertained, or we'll quickly be bored by it. That's not its purpose. Go in my office, there's not a single fiction book in there. And that's a flaw on my part, to not read fiction. But usually, just the way I've been wired and kind of grown up, I approach books, I look to learn. And I enjoy reading in order to learn. Oftentimes, the danger is we approach a text like we approach all other texts. And if I just approach the Scriptures to learn, I'm not approaching it the way it's meant to be approached. You approach it to engage with God. And so I would just encourage you, I know as we start this new series and we start going through 30 chapters and everything, and it's all of this new content are challenging, don't approach it to be entertained. That's not what it's for. Don't approach it to learn. You will learn, but that's not primarily what it's for. You are to approach it to worship. And I just want to, in my mind and even with you, as you approach the Scriptures and as you approach the text, recognize you're entering into a time of worship, and just go prepared for whatever God will have for you.
One takeaway.
So I'm the youngest person up here. That's not the takeaway. But it also, there's a little bit of, there's a difference with interaction with technology and stuff. And one of the things that,
is he dissing us?
I am not sure where he's going.
No, I'm saying I'm relating to the young people in the room.
And we're not.
As opposed to the young people on this stage.
Okay. I'm really old. But one of the things is your phone will tell you how much screen time you have. And if you're really, really interested, it will tell you what apps you're spending that much time on. But one of the things that I think is a helpful reminder to kind of put all of this into at least an application, maybe for 3 weeks into January, if it lasts that long, is look at how long we're spending interacting with technology and allowing our attention to be taken from us. Because everything is designed to take our attention. One of the things that's difficult about reading is look at that amount of time and think, if I start to whittle this down week for a year, that's almost an hour less on your phone, and now an hour that you've devoted to scripture. And that can be taken for each day, right? I mean, 52 weeks, it's almost an hour. That's 520. That's a really long time.
Young people can't do math.
Yeah, math. All right.
Don't think about that.
Do what she's about to say. But the thing is, we can start to whittle that down. Because one of the things that Tim Keller says is he talks about how our heart is an idol factory. And the things that we give our attention to, the things that we consume, they make us something. And the world is always trying to make us something. Technology is trying to make us something. And a lot of times it's trying to make us a consumer. But maybe the Lord also wants us to consume something as well. And he wants us to consume him, which is our daily bread. And not allow it to just be like Sunday morning bread, but the daily bread that we come to every single day, those moments where we're anxious or we're nervous or we're tired, who are we turning to? Are we turning to the world to just entertain us? Or are we turning to scripture to mold us?
Good job. I'll end with this. We had a break in our Bible reading for Advent. We start up again on December. Is today December 29th?
It's 28th.
Oh, so we start tomorrow. So starting tomorrow for the next week, it's Jonah, Amos, Hosea. If you haven't been doing it, now's the time to get started. This is a no-guilt zone. So if you did it and then sort of dropped it, start up again. It doesn't matter. It's like working out. You stopped working out 3 months ago. Start up again. So Jonah, Amos, Hosea for this coming week. This a week from today, I will be preaching on the entire book of Jonah. So you'll be set up for that. So get one of these. This is the entire schedule. You'll see them in the gathering space and on the exits. And let's just get started again together. Because in a sense, what we're saying, again, no magic here, but even what Eden was saying, it'll affect your character. It'll affect the way you treat people. It'll affect the way you live your everyday life and what you prioritize, because that's what it's intended to do. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to worship, and then we're going to go home. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you've not left us guessing as to who you are, what your will is, what the big story is, and that you've allowed us through your Son, Christ, to be a part of that story. So, Father, I take what we've said this morning and apply it in any way you see fit to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.